advisement. Our next case, the eighth case this morning, is United States against Alphonse. Mr. Mandel.
May it please the court, Attorney Rumbelow. Good morning. I will try and keep my comments brief. There was no credible evidence before the district court that my client, James Alphonse, was either a manager or supervisor. I'm not asking this court to second-guess Judge Shabazz, because, quite frankly, if his findings were made on evidence that wasn't credible, then his decision was a guess. And quite frankly, he is not supposed to guess, but base the enhancement on credible evidence that was before him, and it just wasn't there. I'd also indicate that...
I'm sure you know, Mr. Mandel, we have said more than once that anybody who stands up in a court of appeals and says the judge shouldn't have believed witness X is wasting his time. That's the district judge's job, not ours. There was nothing that White testified to that was inconsistent with the laws of physics or contradicted by any incontestable documents or anything like that.
Well, he was tape recorded as saying that my client was his partner. An undercover detective, when meeting with Mr. White, when Mr. White did not know he was dealing with a police officer, recorded their conversations. And during those conversations, Mr. White said that James Alphonse is my partner.
You brought it forcefully to the attention of the district judge that White has been talking out of both sides of his mouth. That is a regrettably common thing in criminal cases. That's one reason why district judges have a hard time deciding who to believe, but it's the world we live in.
Well, I guess to quote William Burroughs, if you can't be just, be arbitrary, and that's what I believe Judge Shabazz was, because there wasn't credible evidence to base his decision on. He just chose
what his decision... It'd be nice if we could just expose a patch of somebody's skin and put a dye on it. If it turns red, he's telling the truth, and if it turns blue, he's lying. But alas, we don't have that.
Well, even Judge Shabazz noted, though, that he's not a reliable or credible witness. So when you pick and guess which lie to believe...
Judge Shabazz understood that White often lied. The question was he lying in this particular respect? I don't see how one can say as a matter of law that if a witness often lies, therefore nothing he ever says is true. Even a stop clock is right twice a day, the old saying goes.
I agree, but it has to be credible evidence. And if somebody is, how do you determine credible evidence in that situation? I think it's clear error, because there's no way when a person is lying half the time for Judge Shabazz to be able to sit there and saying, because he's telling a story that's consistent with what the recommendation is, he must be telling the truth this time. It's just he's not a credible witness, and without some credible witness or corroboration, I don't believe it was a proper finding by the court. And I understand the court's comments. But again, I'm not asking you to second guess, because Judge Shabazz guessed, and that's not his job, and it's not your job to take a second guess at it. There wasn't credible evidence to base his decision. There was no evidence that my client procured the drugs. There was no credible evidence that he got a larger share of the proceeds. None of that was produced by credible evidence. It all came from the mouth of Sean White.
What did he plead guilty to?
I believe he pled guilty to conspiracy to deliver, or party to the crime of delivery of crack cocaine.
The only question is whether he's an organizer or leader and that sort of thing.
Yes, that's the only issue, is whether or not he should have had the two-point enhancer as a manager or supervisor. And quite frankly, again, as I indicated in my briefs and as I've stated earlier, when he was not dealing with the court, when he didn't know he was dealing with a police officer and being recorded, he described my client as being his partner. And he set up his own deals without him. He set the prices. He was, the government says there's no other explanation for the facts, but quite frankly, the fact that my client does not want to meet Mr. White's customers is very common in the drug trade. and the fact that he drove Mr. White to deal with this undercover police officer doesn't make him a manager or supervisor. It's simply partners can have different roles in a partnership. My client's role was to drive him over there and drive him back, because quite frankly, I don't believe Mr. White had a driver's license, but I don't know that that's in the record or not.
Now, he didn't testify at the sentencing hearing, did he?
My client, he made a statement and he told the court that they were not partners. That he did not manage or supervise them. If there's no other questions, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Mandel. Ms. Rumbelow.
Good morning, Your Honors, Mr. Mandel. What Mr. Mandel's argument overlooks when he places a lot of emphasis on Mr. White's statement that Mr. Alphonse was his partner is that what Mr. White thought is not legally determinative of what Mr. Alphonse's role really was in this offense. He also overlooks the fact that Mr. White's testimony was consistent with the uncontested facts of these controlled deliveries. The undercover officer would call Mr. Alphonse, arrange the quantity and the price, and then Mr. Alphonse would send either Tom Shalin Hardin or Sean White to actually make the deliveries. So when Judge Shabazz applied this two-level enhancement based on his findings that Mr. Alphonse organized and managed White and Hardin, that was not error. Judge Shabazz also found that Alphonse arranged transactions three times and sent White and Hardin. That was uncontested. That was what Mr. Alphonse pled guilty to. He pled guilty to count four of the superseding indictment, which was delivery of more than 50 grams of crack cocaine. He arranged the price, he arranged the quantity, and then he drove Sean White to the transaction. So when Judge Shabazz then credited Sean White's testimony at the sentencing hearing that it was Alphonse who obtained the crack cocaine and kept control of the money, that was not error, because again, everything Sean White had already testified to was consistent with what we already knew that was uncontested. So I ask that if this court doesn't have any questions, that you affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Mandel?
Sean White's testimony was not corroborated by the additional evidence. Sean White was called by the undercover police officer on Mr. Alphonse's phone. The phone was in his name. He would give the phone to Mr. White, and the deal would be negotiated. On the third transaction, and only on the third transaction, did the undercover officer speak to Mr. Alphonse. Terms were discussed. Then Mr. White called back the undercover police officer and went over the details and reconfirmed. He wouldn't have done that if he was simply a gopher. So I submit to the court that they were, in fact, partners, that this was Mr. White's customer, and that merely having the phone in my client's name does not make him the manager or supervisor. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And Mr. Mandel, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case. The case is taken under advisement.